is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Katrina Vandenhoevel, the editorial director and publisher of The Nation magazine, which much experience traveling to Russia and conversations with Russians over many decades. And now we come to another Russian quandary. Katrina, a very good evening to you. I mentioned a CNN headline in these last days from the EU representative from Russia, Vladimir Chezhov. The warning was hardly veiled, writes CNN. Vladimir Chezhov, Russian President Vladimir Putin's tough-minded representative to the EU, said that if Europe wants to resolve any future issues with its supply of natural gas quickly, treating Russia as a partner, not an adversary, will help. I matched that up with a headline in the London Telegraph in these last hours. As you know, there's grave concern in the UK and throughout continental Europe about energy for the winter coming on. This from the Telegraph. Gas prices jump as Russia keeps a lid on supplies. UK snubbed, goes the headline, in first stage of 2 billion euro hydrogen plant scheme. Treasury prepares to launch online sales attacks and other disturbing headlines coming out of the recovery. But I want to concentrate on energy. Russia is an energy superpower. It has also been the target of sanctions by the EU, the US, and others these many years because of its alleged human rights violations. Alleged, I'm only using diplomatically, you understand. So what is to be done? And complicating this, of course, is the new German election, which is disposed to say the Nord Stream 2 can't open fast enough. Good evening to you, Katrina.
Right. A lot here. Obviously, the increasing escalation of, the adversarial relationship, to be diplomatic, between the United States and Russia and the EU does not help matters. That's the backdrop. Your energy forum in Russia last week, and one of the headlines coming out of that in Russian papers, nobody will freeze. Russia will supply Europe with as much gas as it needs, says country's energy committee. I think part of what's happened here is, you know, partly due to the pandemic, energy prices were very low. They're rising now. I think the renewable sources have not been as well cultivated in Europe. Putin has reiterated that Russia is ready to work with its European partners to improve the continent's energy security. But he's also made it clear, as you mentioned, John, that the EU members that want to increase supplies beyond the existing agreements need to sign off on long-term contracts. And what is going on in the market right now, as I've followed it, is that gas has been available in a very spot market way. When I say long-term contracts, what they mean, you know, is a decade. So that's part of what's happening. And there is a commitment that Europe gets as much gas from Russia as it needs to curb energy shortages, but we shall see. I do think the approval by Joe Biden, President Joe Biden, of the pipeline through Germany, Nord Stream, is very important because it allows, obviously, the pipeline is Ukraine and is going through Europe. But I do think relationships are going to matter in this energy sphere as to what happens in this cold winter. And obviously, it's cyclical as we enter the winter. This always arises and has in the last decade or more. But I think there's a little bit of, shall we say, William Randolph Hearst channeling through the Telegraph and some other media, and another area for escalation of hostility to rise as more is made of this.
Mr. Chezhov, in his remark about treating us as a partner, we can guess that relates to the sanctions. Do you believe at this point the European Union is moving forward towards a practical solution of the sanctions, no more chastising the people who will heat us this winter?
Well, I think the sanctions have been overused, and I think there's been a division between Europe, certainly Germany, and the United States overuse of sanctions. I'm not sure how much more sanctioning can be done, and it's out of the Senate, the Congress trying to flex its muscles and show it's tough. But, you know, at the moment, there's a complexity here. I don't follow this as carefully as you do, John, but, you know, long-term contracts seem to be a big issue here. And the spot market stuff is driving Russia crazy. But consistently, and I'm talking, you know, you mentioned the Telegraph channeling Hearst. Financial Times has a story by someone who's been based in Moscow a long time, Max Sadan, you know, that Putin denies Russia is restricting gas supplies. In addition, Putin has said the country on the eve of COP26, the big conference on climate, will aim for carbon neutrality by 2060. But, you know, you're dealing with moving from Gazprom, which argues it's already exceeded. That's the huge gas. Well, had already exceeded its contractual obligations to customers in the EU. But, you know, Putin in this energy forum stressed that further supplies depend on requests from the United States, EU. And there is a kind of implicit, how shall we put it, you know, have to buy gas on Russia's terms. So we come back to this long-term market. But it is a case that exports have increased, soared to more than five times the level of a year ago. And that has a lot to do with the, you know, the political, social, economic atmosphere about around us.
Let's connect this to COP26 upcoming in Glasgow in a few weeks' time. And a headline from the Guardian newspaper about the Biden administration. This is our last chance. Biden urged to act as climate agenda hangs by a thread. These things don't all match up in an easy formula, but we do see an energy crisis in China, in Europe, in California. Yes. We also see that the president is now facing rising gasoline and natural gas prices across the country, which is disturbing for any leadership, but certainly for his polling and for inflation, and the driving need to get legislation on the table to take to Glasgow. So is there a priority here?
The priority is not Russia or Putin at this moment for President Biden. It's Joe Manchin, the coal baron of West Virginia, also passing as a senator, forgive me. But, I mean, he's now leveraging his influence as one of two senators who can block a major human investment infrastructure plan by now trying to carve out really any teeth from the climate piece of the infrastructure bill. I mean, it is a tough time where there's real concern about stagflation and gas prices are going up, which is always an indicator of trouble. But, you know, at the risk of sounding heretical, so have renewables. And there needs to be a boost, certainly at this time, for that industry, which is the industry of the future. You know how many jobs? I think 3% of the Virginia, West Virginia economy is in coal jobs. You can't dismiss any job. But the market is going to price out. And to be prepared for the 21st century is part of what the climate crisis is truly about, green jobs. And I think that has to be at the forefront of Biden's thinking as he heads to Glasgow.
The Glasgow meeting will resolve some of these conflicts. But Russia, Katrina, you and I both know that Russia is the pivot nation, the heartland. Will Vladimir Putin strengthen his hand in Europe and in Asia through this crisis? We have about a minute.
Well, I come back. I think that China has emerged as the major issue economically and politically, militarily. I think Russia retains this enormous power. I think Germany has always set itself off from the United States and the EU to a certain extent. So that's going to play a role in resolving the gas issue. And Nord Stream 2, which again was, you know, approved by Biden, bypasses Ukraine, and it's going to significantly relieve tensions on the energy market if it were approved by German regulators, which is still, right, you know, being reviewing it. But the contracts have been fulfilled. The long-term issue versus spot markets is important. And, you know, never say never. This, we have to be vigilant. But I think there's a little kind of you know, escalating what doesn't need to be escalated. There has to be a sober view of this. And again, I think there will be, but the escalation of hostilities and sanctions does not lead to, it seems to me, a place where the United States wants to be for its economy, and it doesn't make sense.
Katrina Vandenhoven, the editorial director of The Nation magazine. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.